Hare Krishna. Question. My mother was a serious devotee, practicing devotional life very seriously, but she got some disease and before it could be diagnosed, she passed away. And my father is become distraught and he is especially questioning that why did such a thing happen to someone who was so devoted to God? How do I answer this question? Answer: the purpose of spiritual life is to give us strength to face the challenges of life. It is not necessarily to escape the challenges of life. In life, we all face unexpected obstacles and reversals at various times. And sometimes we can find out their causes, sometimes we just can't find out their causes. So the important point is not to get obsessed by the question why this, but to focus on the question how now. Why this? That means, why did this happen? When we ask this question, we are confronted with our minuteness as compared with the hugeness of the universe. And when this confrontation takes place, the vastness of the universe, the vastness of the complexity of the causal connections in the universe, one thing leads to another, one thing, that thing leads to another, we are not aware of these complexities. And so the question why this ultimately is something which we cannot answer intellectually. Of course, now the scriptures do explain that whatever happens to us is a result of our own past karma. So if some accident happens, if some disease happens, if death happens to someone, we understand that God is not unfair. God does not victimize anyone unnecessarily. So if something like this happens, it is a reaction to something that one has done in the past. Now this may raise the question that, this person was so good, this person was a serious devotee, what bad? If that person had been bad and deserving to have the life cut off at such a young age, then wouldn't we have seen something bad in that person's life now? But when there's nothing bad and the person was so good, how could that person have done something bad in the previous life? The point is that, we have not just gone through one life, we have gone through many, many lives. And in many lives that we have gone through, we have done various kinds of activities. So in the Mahabharata, there is a story of how Dhritarashtra asked Krishna, I had 100 sons and why did all the 100 sons die? Why could even one son not survive? So Krishna told Arjuna that 50 lifetimes ago you were a hunter and there you went to kill he-bird and she-bird, but when you couldn't catch them, you slaughtered their birdlets and you killed 100 birdlets, and the he-bird and she-bird who had escaped your clutches, they were forced to watch in helpless agony as you massacred their children. So just as you force them to suffer, enduring the massacre of their children, similarly, their 100 children, so you had to suffer the massacre of your 100 children. Dhritarashtra thought, and then he asked again, but why did I have to wait for 50 lifetimes? He said, so Krishna replied that actually, to get 100 sons in one lifetime requires a lot of punya. So you had to do punya for 50 lifetimes so that after that you could get the reaction at that time. So what this means is sometimes we may have done good in previous lives also, but there might be something that we may have done even before that which caused this reaction. That's why when we ask why this, then there is no answer that we can get very clearly. We understand that this world has cause and effect. Now, we see cause and effect. If I hit against my hand, if I put my hand in fire, it burns. You know, if I eat cold food on in winter, I get running nose. If so, now that and I put my hand in fire, it gets burned immediately. When we eat cold food, we may get the running nose after a few hours. If a person eats too much and too opulently, then within a month or a few months, the person's belly will get bloated and the person's weight will increase. So in these three examples, the point is that the distance between cause and effect varies. With respect to fire, the effect is immediately. With respect to cold food eating, it is after a few hours. With respect to overeating, it is after a few weeks or months. But the point is, although there is time lag between cause and effect, we see cause and effect everywhere in this world. So, we understand based on Shastra that there is a cause and effect. And even if we don't understand, we know the specific cause, we understand that God is not up there causing this suffering to us. The suffering is a mechanical, is a reaction as per the impartial law of karma. When a child puts a hand in fire, it is not that God who causes the fire to burn. It's the nature of fire. It is not God who causes the person's hand to burn. It is fire which naturally burns. And the person who puts a hand invites it burning. So similarly, we shouldn't think that God is up there causing the suffering to us. God is in here helping us to endure the suffering. Helping us to cope, to go through the suffering and to go through the suffering and to go through the grow through the suffering. So, once when I had a series of diseases and lot of health complexities, so I in one of my prayers I wrote a poem in Hindi. So, aaye sankat to hua sakshatkar, bina bhakti ke kaisa karta inhe paar. Aaye sankat to hua sakshatkar. When miseries came, I got the realization that without bhakti, without devotional remembrance of Krishna, how could I have crossed those obstacles? So it was the remembrance of Krishna that sheltered me, that gave me strength, that gave me purpose to endure those sufferings. And that applies to all of us. So it's certainly sad that your mother passed away when she was relatively young. And she was not so old, and also that at the same time we have to understand that because she was a devotee, the magnitude of her suffering would have reduced substantially. And not only that, is within our perception, and even within our perception, a person who is a devotee calls out to Krishna, and even if the person is not calling out to Krishna, internally there is a remembrance of Krishna which acts as a shock absorber. If we consider the journey of life to be like moving on a road, there are, if you're going on a vehicle, say a motorcycle, if they're not shock absorbers, then we get jolted. But if shock absorbers are there, the jolting is substantially lesser. So the remembrance of Krishna doesn't change the nature of the road. The shock absorbers don't change the nature of the road, but they change the nature of our experience. So, we will still be jolted when we go through the journey of life, but the remembrance of Krishna acts as a shock absorber which minimizes the jolts. So, surely the suffering that your mother went through would have been much lesser because she remembered Krishna and because she had cultivated a habit of remembering Krishna. And of course, beyond this, she has attained auspicious destination because of her devotion to Krishna. So, in the same way, we too can attain an auspicious destiny. We too can get the shelter of the remembrance of Krishna. We too can experience the shock absorbing effect, the solace, the shelter, the strength that comes from Krishna Bhakti. So rather than blaming God and thinking that He is up there causing the suffering to me, we need to realize Sarvasya Chaham Hridi Sannivishto. Krishna says, I am present in the hearts of everyone. So, He is right there in our heart with us. And He is eager to help us overcome the sufferings. Tolerate and transcend the sufferings. If we just turn towards Him and take shelter of Him. So, rather than blaming God, we can take the shelter of God. and we will be able to endure the suffering and grow through the suffering. In this world, we have two kinds of relationships. We have a horizontal relationship and a vertical relationship. So the horizontal relationship is with the people around us, our family members, the elders, youngers, equals, all of them. That we are all in the horizontal relationship. And we have a vertical relationship with God, with Krishna. And these two relationships are meant to be symbiotic. Naturally, our horizontal relationship become deeper because the people around us, they are around us. We can see them, we can directly talk with them, interact with them. So naturally, those relationships are stronger. But those relationships are not eternal. We are not going to live, nobody is going to live eternally. So, this does not mean that our natural inclination for relationships has to be frustrated. Nor does it mean that we are not meant to live without love. But rather, our horizontal relationship is meant to stimulate our spiritual, vertical relationship. That our need for love can be satisfied only when we love the eternal object of love, that is Krishna. And in fact, we should see that whatever love, whatever affection, whatever kindness we get from anyone, ultimately it is Krishna who is giving us to that person. So it is Krishna who brings certain persons in our lives, whether it is our mother, our father, our spouse or our children, and whatever, it is Krishna who brings them in our life. And whatever love we get through them, it is Krishna who is giving us love through them. It is Krishna who arranged for them to come in our life. And it is Krishna's love that we glimpse through their love for us. Of course, those people loved us, but their love, they are finite beings like us, and their love for us is finite. But through that finite love, we glimpse Krishna's infinite love. So, now, the ideal family relationship is where the horizontal relationships stimulate the vertical relationship. By the love that we get from our loved ones, we feel inspired to learn to love the eternal object of love, that is Krishna. So now you were fortunate that you had a family member, a mother, a wife, who had a strong vertical relationship, and your affection for her, can become the stimulus for your developing your vertical relationship also. Now that she is gone, now, what is the good that you can do for her? Naturally, when some loved one passes away, we often feel, oh, there is so much more I could have done for this person. So there is definitely something which you can do in two ways. One is that although she is not there physically to help us, physically for us to do anything for her right now, but she as a soul is still alive. And wherever she is, if you practice bhakti, and you become intense in your bhakti because she is related with you, and that benefit will go to her also. And moreover, we can think what will please her. She practiced bhakti because it helped her. It strengthened her, it benefited her. And she would be happy if you practice bhakti now. So the shelter that she had, if you take up that shelter, not only will you benefit her where you are, but you will also please her, satisfy her. And in that way, rather than feeling bereaved, through this experience, you can become strengthened. Yes, the grief will not go away, but it will not go away immediately. But rather, you will be able to grow through this grief towards a love and a relationship that will take you beyond grief. So, Krishna is not the cause of this. Krishna is not apathetic in this. Krishna is there with you right now to help you endure this and to grow through this. Just turn to Him, take shelter of Him, chant His holy name, study the Bhagavad Gita, pray to Krishna in the temple, and you will find a great peace coming in your life, and you will see that rather than feeling empty, you will get a fullness that you never had in your life. So, please take shelter of Krishna and you will find that you will be able to tolerate and transcend this misery. Thank you. Hare Krishna.